Turn to the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and unto His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Our gracious, glorious Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence in Christ's name, and we ask that we might be enabled by Your grace to make this joyful noise unto You. We ask that we would be enabled by Your grace to come into Your courts with thanksgiving. Lord, bless us for Christ's sake. Make Yourself known to us for Christ's sake. Cause Your gospel to be preached in the power of Your Spirit for Christ's sake. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake and cleanse us for Christ's sake. Lord, everything we do, everything we ask in His name. And we're so thankful to be able to do that. We ask that You would grant us a time of worship, unite our hearts together to fear Thy name. Lord, we pray for Your blessing upon all Your people whenever they meet together, that Your gospel would be preached. We pray for this nation, this world. We pray that Your will would be done with all of our leaders, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I realize that sometimes we do not feel this joyfulness and this gladness spoken of in our text. And we don't want to be artificial about this and try to work something up. But every believer, listen to this, whether you feel it or not, every believer right now has every reason to enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving and joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Scripture says. Right now, when I leave here, tonight, tomorrow, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, the title of this psalm is a psalm of praise. And remember, these titles are inspired. A psalm of praise or a psalm of thanksgiving. I love the Scripture. I love to be reminded of the Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."
In everything give thanks, no matter what it is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Now, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, there's a time to be still and to be silent. You know, I don't know of anything more powerful than silence in a worship service, where there's silence. Be still and know that I am the Lord. I will be exalted among the heathen. That's powerful. And there's also a time to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, stronger than the roaring of the ocean. I think of that joyful noise in heaven. 10,000 times 10,000 in that choir. That's 100 million people. And I know it's just a figure, but there are going to be a lot of people in heaven. And they're going to be making a noise mightier than the roaring of the ocean, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Now, even when we don't feel this in the flesh, and the Lord said to his disciples, remember when he was in Gethsemane's garden and he came back and found them asleep? Asleep when they should have been awake praying, but they were asleep. And he said, the flesh indeed is weak. He acknowledged that. The flesh indeed is weak, but the spirit is willing. Oh, how willing the spirit is. But whether I am encumbered with the weakness of the flesh, the weakness of my sinful nature, I'm still called upon by the grace of God to make this joyful noise. And make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He's calling upon all people to make this joyful noise. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, gladness, joyfulness. Sing unto the Lord. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I love that scripture. Isn't it a blessing when, even as you're by yourself, you're singing unto the Lord? And you're making melody in your heart to the Lord. What a blessing of grace that is. And the following verses will tell us why we should be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Verse 3, know ye. You see, this reason for singing is based upon knowledge. It's based upon something we know. This is not just trying to work something up. This is based upon the knowledge of God. Know ye. Here's the reason to come into His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, He is God. Is that enough to make you sing? Know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, He is God. Now, this is the knowledge this is based upon, Jehovah. Every time you see the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, that's a reference to Jehovah. And I really love the way the translators, and this came from the belief that His name is so holy, it ought not even be spoken. Jehovah, the Lord, our righteousness. Does that make you happy? To know that He is your righteousness? The Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah, my shepherd. My shepherd's the Lord. Jehovah, my provider. The one who provides for me all that He requires. Yeah, it just takes all the pressure off right now. Everything He requires of me, He provides in Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I am the Lord Jehovah that healeth thee. Physically, if I'm healed, the Lord healed me. He uses means. I realize that. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to take my medicine because I'm going to trust the Lord to heal me. That's foolish. He uses those means. But if you're healed, who healed you? The Lord did. If you're healed spiritually, Him restoring your soul, who's that? The Lord. The Lord my banner. The Lord my message. Know ye that Jehovah, He is the God. He is truly God. He is God, and every attribute that He exercises is Him being God. Now you think of the sovereignty of Jehovah. His sovereignty in creation when He spake the world into existence. That's Him being God. His sovereignty in providence where He's controlling every single event. That's Him being God. Most especially His sovereignty in salvation. Him saving. Salvation's of the Lord. That's Him being God. Know ye that Jehovah, He is God. His holiness, His otherness. I love that definition of holy. His otherness is Him being God. His omnipotence, all power. Whatever He wills, He has the power to perform. He has no limitations. That's Him being God, isn't it? Know ye that Jehovah, He is God. His omnipresence. I love to think that the Lord's everywhere. He's right here with me. And He's everywhere else too. And if you go into the vastness of the universe, the galaxies, He holds it all in the palm of His hand. He's omnipresent. That's the Lord being God. I think of His omniscience, how He's never learned anything. He's never been informed. He's never been surprised by anything. That's Him being God. How glorious He is. I think of His eternity. His eternality, however you would say it. I don't even know. You know, that blows my mind. He never began to be. His independence. Only God is independent. He has no needs. This is Jehovah being God. When I think of His salvation, oh, I love to think of His salvation. You begin with God electing a people before time began to be saved. That's God being God, isn't it? God indeed. I think of Christ's death for His people. That's successful death. He actually saved them. That's God being God. Every aspect, regeneration, being born again, birth by God, that's God being God. Know ye. I love this, don't you? Know ye. This is the reason we can be glad and rejoice in His presence. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And look what it says next in verse 3. It is He that made us, not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, it's He that made us. Now, this is true with regard to us being His creatures. He made us. That's easy to believe. He made us. I didn't make myself. That's ridiculous. He made us and not we ourselves. But this is speaking more than anything else about salvation. He made us. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2:10 says we are His workmanship. Every aspect of our salvation is He made us. Salvation is of the Lord. He made us. Now think about this. He made us, and this is how much it's got to be Him doing it. Scripture says He made us the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I want you to think about the enormity of that statement. He made us the very righteousness of God.
Now, if I'm the righteousness of God, I don't have anything to worry about on judgment day, do I? He's made unto us. And He's made us the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the redemption of God. He's made unto us all these things. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, this is what I was trying to think about this, and I can't get hold of it, but I love it. When He said, "I make all things new," I'm given a new history that actually took place. Y'all remember hearing one person say, "You can't change history." God can. God did. He said, "I make all things new." And when I stand before God in judgment, my history is going to be a history of having never sinned ever and only pleasing God. That's what justification is. Justification is not God treat you as if that's the way it was. Justification is that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's what God does for His people. I'm going to have a perfect righteousness before God that God is pleased with. He made us His actual sons and daughters. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We dare not take credit for anything in our salvation. He made us, and not we ourselves. And we love it that way, because that way it's going to work. If I'm in it, it's going to get messed up. But this is what He did. "Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what do you have that you didn't receive?" Now, is this enough of a reason to come into His presence with joy and gladness? What He has made us to be. Now look what He says. Go on reading. Verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord is God." There's a reason to rejoice and come into His presence with gladness. He's the God of glory. "It is He that made us, and not we ourselves." And then He says, here's the next reason. We're His people. We're His people. What's that mean? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we're His people. He said, "I'll be to them a people," or "I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." That's quoted several times in the Scripture. Now, if I'm His people, that means He's for me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I can't be against myself. The Lord's going to overrule all that. No one can be against. His law can't be against me. His justice can't be against me. It's all for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then look what He says next. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I think it is I don't know why I would say it's amazing. The best illustration of a believer is a sheep. A sheep. What about sheep? Sheep are the dumbest animals, I suppose, alive. That's what I've read. Dumb. Dumb. They're dirty. They get themselves filthy. They're defenseless. They cannot protect themselves. They don't have fangs. They don't have claws. They are defenseless. They're utterly dependent on their shepherd. And they go astray so easily. And when they go astray, they can't find the way back. They're dependent upon their shepherd to come and get them and bring them back. I love the last verse of Psalm 119 where David said, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." You ever prayed that prayer? Seek thy servant.
For I don't forget thy word. We're the sheep of his pasture. Now turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And because my shepherd's the Lord, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I love the way it says he makes me do it. He makes me to lie down. I'm not going to lack rest. I lie down in the green pastures of his word. A short sheep in high grass, feeding upon the glories of his word. That's what mine sounds like. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of quietness. I'm not going to lack peace. He is my peace. The still waters of quietness, not turmoil. I'm accepted in the Beloved. What peace there is there. He restores my soul. He's always going to restore me. Isn't that a blessing of his grace to be restored? He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. With the Lord as my shepherd, I have his righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and he's got a motive for doing it for his name's sake. God has a motive for everything he does for Christ's sake. I've got a reason to believe that God will bless me because it's for Christ's sake. That's the only reason that's needed. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is right now, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You are too. Since the day you were born, you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here's why. Thou art with me. You know, one of the names of Jehovah is Jehovah is there. Jehovah is present. At all times, the Lord is present. And there's never a time, whether I feel it or not, there's never a time when I do not have his presence. Now, I know what it is to feel like you don't have his presence. But you know, even when you feel like you don't have his presence, you have his presence. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Every believer always has the presence of the Lord. And because of that, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm never going to lack comfort. The comfort of the gospel, that's given to every believer. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, is David speaking of his literal enemies? Yes. Yes, but I have no doubt that David's speaking of his chief enemy as his sins. And you prepare a table of blessing before me in the very presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. I'll never lack the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's not half full, it's running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I always have God's two watchdogs following me. His goodness and his mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what is meant by he is our shepherd. Let's go back to our text in Psalm 100. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people,
And the sheep of His pasture enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, I want to always be a thankful person. Not a murmuring, complaining person, but a thankful person. He hath done all things well. We're bound, Paul said. I love this. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. He doesn't say we're thanking you. He said we're thanking God for you. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, isn't this beautiful? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, I want to do that right now, don't you? Christ is the door. He's the gate. I enter into His gates right now through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And then in this last verse, He gives us three reasons to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and being thankful unto Him and blessing His name. Number one, for the Lord is good. Number two, His mercy is everlasting. Number three, His truth endureth to all generations. Number one, the Lord's good. He is good all the time. There's never a time when He's not good. The Lord is good. He's essentially good. When Moses said, show me your glory, how did he answer? I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And when somebody says, if God's good, why does He let this happen? Why does He let that happen? Now, whenever we think something like that, we're saying He's not good, or He wouldn't let that happen. All of a sudden, we're becoming God's judge, and we're standing in judgment on God, saying, here's what I think He should have done. Now, wait a minute. The Lord's good all the time, and the Lord always brings good out of evil. All the time. You remember what Joseph said to his brethren? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And everything that takes place is the goodness of God. Are you telling me what happened in Hawaii with all those people? God's good. And I don't need to understand why He does anything. I just trust His character. He's good. If you know Him, you know He's good. And you don't need to know why He's doing anything. You just know that He's good and you trust His character. For the Lord is good. Here's the second reason we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. His mercy is everlasting. It never had a beginning. It'll never have an ending. His mercy, that's Him not giving us what we deserve. His grace is Him giving us what we don't deserve. And His mercy is withholding from us what we do deserve. But because His mercy is in Christ Jesus, it is eternal. And then, thirdly, His truth. Now, the word truth is the word that is generally translated faithfulness. His faithfulness. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. And His faithfulness endureth to all generations. He will always be who He is. And our joy is grounded in His faithfulness. Though we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. So what a reason we have to come into His courts with thanksgiving and praise and joyfulness. The Lord is good. He's always good. And how His goodness was displayed in the salvation of His people.